All right, what's up, family? Y'all can already tell it is all laughs on this show. About to be the best 90-minute show of your life. You could be watching anybody. You're hanging out with us. We do appreciate it. I'm Emmanuel Lato. That's unimportant. What is important, far end, NFL insider, Bucky Brooks. What's up, baby?
What's up, man?
Bucky, you rock the fresh kicks on set. You all smiles on set. You ready to throw a couple haymakers?
No instigating today, all right?
No.
And no lawyer stuff. If we ask you a question, you got to answer.
You got to answer.
All of us, not just him, all of us.
No objections, straight answers. Joy Taylor, how are you feeling?
I'm good. Let's go.
Let's get to it. Eagles all time.
Do you have rhythm?
We got to also define. How do y'all define rhythm, America? We will get to that at the end of the show. The shady bounce does not count as rhythm. Okay, it don't count as. Let's get it started. The big news of the day. Dalvin Cook, four-time Pro Bowler, four consecutive 1,000-yard seasons, is on the move. He's found a new destination, a one-year deal worth up to $8.6 million with the New York Jets, solidifying the Jets' backfield, joining Aaron Rodgers. Dalvin Cook, shady, as you well know, an absolute stud. Statistically speaking, he's one of the more underrated running backs in the league. We only talk about Saquon, Josh Jacobs, Jonathan Taylor. Last year, we've talked about Miles Sanders. But Dalvin Cook, America, four straight 1,000-yard seasons. That is hard to do. Shady, nobody better to talk to on all of television about the addition of Dalvin Cook than you, an all-time leading rusher for an NFL organization, the Philadelphia Eagles. What does Dalvin Cook to the Jets mean?
It means a lot. First of all, they get a playmaker, right? They get a veteran in the running back room.
Yep.
And the biggest part is, I think, with a guy like Breece Hall that's coming to his own, we've seen some good flashes, but he was injured. I think you have a veteran in the room where he can learn from. And eventually it will be his room to take over. And I just think that we have a home right here like Cook. At any given moment, he can take it to the crib. He can change the game. I think we look at Aaron Rodgers to lead this team to a championship, lead this offense. Well, you got a veteran like Cook in the backfield that can give you that burst when you need it. It's a great thing. I spoke to him, I want to say 2 to 3 weeks ago, and I said, you see what's going on with the team cutting you and all this? I said, make sure you take it personal. You know what he told me? He said, it's been personal. So I look forward to having a big, big year from Cook this year.
I like that. Joy, what does Cook to the Jets mean?
I think it gives them another dimension. And we've been talking about this as basically a done deal for a couple weeks now, but you already have a really solid start with the running back room there. Adding someone like Dalvin Cook is an extra asset to have. When Breece Hall's back, we know it's going to be distributed a little bit differently.
Yeah.
But that's a good thing. They're all in. It's a one-year deal. It's really a 1 or 2 year situation, if we're being honest. I know Aaron's talking about a bunch more years,
yes,
but we need to live in the present. and that's what the Jets are doing. So I love that they did it, that they used the money, by the way, that Aaron Rodgers gave back. Mm-hmm. So make that intentional. And he's a good player. Like, this is, you have a good team, add on to it. It's nothing wrong with having a lot of good.
Right.
And then you
right.
figure it out. It's deeper now. You feel better going in. You know what he's capable of doing. And he gives you that speed. He gives you that burst. He's a home run hitter. You want to use that throughout the year. You're going to need that in moments. So I love it for them. And I think he definitely makes them better.
I mean, this is all about Aaron Rodgers having everything that he needs. Experience, expertise, all that. Kind of like a dream team coming together in New York. So, to me, this is exactly what he needs. Because you know how veteran quarterbacks, they always want, like, them old heads, right? They don't want to deal with a lot of young guys making mistakes. Yeah. They don't have a lot of tolerance for it. So, as we get into the playoff push, now you have Dalvin Cook, who's been there. You got Randall Cobb and some of these other guys. When you have a young team, you need the old heads to be able to calm them down, tell them what it's like to play in those moments. So I love it, and it does give Breece Hall a little more time before he has to come back.
Yeah. Bucky, I think, not to cut you off, Joy, like what's most impressive and important for me is depth. Championship teams, whether it's AFC championship, NFC championship, or Super Bowl champions, they have depth. And that's what the Jets now have in the running back room, like Shady has said. But we also must remember, before Breece Hall got injured, the Jets were 17th in the National Football League in rushing. They were 5-2. We only talk about Zach Wilson being atrocious, which he was. But after Breece Hall got injured, the Jets were 30th ranked in the NFL in rushing, and they dropped from 5-2 to 2-8 down the stretch. Most notably, they lost their last 6 games, if I am not mistaken. Breece Hall in that running game contributed to winning. Dalvin Cook now in that running game, in addition to Breece Hall, will help contribute to winning. But now, Shady, I've been reading the press clippings about the Jets, and I recently saw an article that said anything less than a Super Bowl will be a failure for the Jets. Anything less than a Super Bowl would be a failure. You won two Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. It's hard to do. You agree? Anything less would be a failure?
I disagree. I mean, and the reason why is because there's so many teams that can win a championship or go to the AFC game or the Super Bowl and the AFC. Think about it. We all think that the Chiefs probably will get there.
Of course.
Right? Joe Burrow comes back healthy. We think the Bengals going to be in that thing. Yeah. Right? The Bills. Every year they put them up there, you know, they don't make it, but they could make it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like when we talk about these things, and I don't forget your Dolphins, depending on how Tua plays, if he's healthy, if he can stay up. So to say that it's a Super Bowl bust is crazy because there's so many other teams that can win. And the NFL is hard. Like we were talking about it earlier today about the Rams versus the Saints, right? Saints should have won that game. But it was the flag, it was late hit or something. Not late hit, but pass interference. They didn't call.
A ghost
they lose the game. Yeah. Anything can happen in the game of football. So I can't say this. If they don't go to the Super Bowl, it's a failure year. I can't say that.
Oh, man. You lied on Aaron Rodgers. You lied on Aaron Rodgers.
I'm keeping it real, Bucky.
At this stage, we only play for rings and respect. He has one ring. He's supposed to be the greatest of all time, one of the best that we talk about. He only has one Super Bowl ring.
That's right.
So, yes, he has to win one. I mean, he's 40 years old. The odds of him continuing to play at a high level, look, they're diminishing. He's not going to play better when he's 41, 42. Mm-hmm. So right now it is his best opportunity to do it if he's going to do it. If not, we got to quit talking about him being up there with Tom Brady and the rest of them. He has won.
Mm.
It's time. If he's what everyone says he is, he has to be able to win it.
I like when Bucky's here. Look, I started out saying that was the case. I have had to fight it off. So I've been pushed down to AFC Championship game from Super Bowl. But it is also because a lot of what Shady said. There's going to be forget a team that doesn't make it to the Super Bowl who's really good. There's going to be a team that doesn't make it to the playoffs in the AFC that would be easily in the playoffs in the other conference.
Right.
And we'll be disappointed that we aren't going to see them in the postseason. They'll have a great season and won't make it because of how deep the AFC is. I do think anything less than an AFC championship game, though.
Okay.
Because of the fact that they've gone all in, the talent that they had last year, what they're building on. And you're right. Like, I don't have Aaron Rodgers in the Tom Brady conversation, but there are some people out there who like to entertain that silly conversation. And if it's going to really become a conversation that is legitimate, he needs to have more than one ring. There's no doubt he's one of the greatest of all time.
Right.
One of the greatest. Mm-hmm. But to be in the conversation with a Tom Brady, I mean, to me, I don't think there's anything he can do in his career to get to that point because Tom is up here and in a different category. But winning another ring will really change Aaron Rodgers' legacy. But if you're able to take a team like the Jets to the AFC Championship game in year one in this AFC, I can't say that that is a failure. But also, you know, you mentioned going light on Aaron.
Super light.
We really don't expect Aaron Rodgers to make the Super Bowl, right?
I mean, not based on how he's played.
I don't go light on Aaron Rodgers.
He's went
at all.
He's went to one Super Bowl and won one Super Bowl. And he's had a top three seed or higher six times and has not made it to the Super Bowl. So
I'm torn. I think I'm with you, though, on this one, Bucky, because we can't talk about greats as if they're great if they don't do great things. Like, yeah, the AFC is hard. Shady's exactly right. Joy's exactly right. You would at home. You're right. The AFC is very difficult. But if we're going to talk about Aaron Rodgers as if he's greater than everybody else, then he's got to be greater than everybody else. Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback currently playing, or Patrick Mahomes, and I'm talking about body of work, right? Aaron Rodgers or Patrick Mahomes. Then when you think about in the AFC, running backs, Dalvin Cook, as far as the competitive teams, he's as good, if not better, than Joe Mixon. He better be better than Isaiah Pacheco and Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Yeah.
He's as good as, if not better, than Austin Eckler. I know Eckler's better at scoring touchdowns, but he's a better home run threat. He's as good as, if not better, than anybody in Miami. I love me some Raheem Mostert. That's my dog on a personal level. A-Chain's great out of A&M, but he's a third-round pick.
Yeah.
So when you talk about the talent in the room, the Jets have it. So I'm with Shady. Like, Super Bowls are hard to win, but you can't talk about greats as if they're great unless they do great things. Tom Brady went to Tampa with LeSean McCoy and instantly won a Super Bowl. That's why we hold him in such high regard. LeBron James went to Los Angeles when they had not sniffed the playoffs and they won a championship. That's why we hold him in such high regard. We hold greats in high regard because they do great things.
We do, but it's certain greats that we just, for example, I think LeBron's a great player, right? I think Kevin Durant's a great player, but you would say there's levels.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Brady's a great player. A-Rod's a great player, but there's levels. And I feel like for A-Rod, like, he's a great player, and he's going to do some great things for the Jets, but to say he's automatically going to win a Super Bowl is, like, Come on. If I ask you guys all together, how many other quarterbacks can go out there and win a championship right now today? You gonna give me like two names.
I'll say Pat.
Pat. Who else? Pat and because you see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's a hard question to answer. I know you won't answer it. But you that's hard. So like listen, I will say this. I'm not soft on A-Rod. I keep it 100 on everything, on everybody, on every color, any coach, any player. Yes. In the postseason, he don't deliver. He do great things in the postseason, or in the regular season, postseason, he don't show up. It happens a lot. I think now with this team, I think they do have more talent. They have a better defense. And now you bring in a guy like Dalvin Cook who could take some of that pressure off. Well, now I could throw a check down that Mike can go to the crib because we've seen him do that before. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? Now with the young wide receiver room, got some different playmakers. So I like their chances, but then again, it's like four other teams in the AFC that can do the same thing with talented teams and good quarterback
play. But we shouldn't be able to say that, though, Shady. That's why I'm like, I don't know if y'all recall when we used to be in locker rooms and every now and then you had that one dude on the team is like, man, we got to go play them. Mm. We got to go play them. Mm. But then that one rah-rah guy on the team would say, yeah, but they got to play us.
Ooh.
We keep talking about, like, all these other teams the Jets have to face. Oh, they got to face the Bengals, the Bills, the Dolphins. Oh, they got to face the Chiefs. They got to face Aaron Rodgers. That should mean more than anything because Aaron Rodgers is a greater quarterback as it stands right now mm-hmm. than Justin Herbert, than Joe Burrow, than Josh Allen, than Tua Tagovailoa, than Jalen Hurts, and everybody in them. They got to face Dalvin Cook. Like, they have to face Garrett Wilson. They have to face Sauce Gardner. They have to face Quinnen Williams. They have to face C.J. Mosley. Like,
I can't keep talking about these
other guys.
I could do the same thing to all other teams. If you want to do the name thing and throw it around, I can do the two. I can do the same thing.
But Aaron Rodgers should be the big joker is what I'm saying. I mean, nobody should
be. He's not the biggest. And the AFC card deck, right?
Yeah.
With his cards.
Yeah.
He ain't the biggest card out there. Is he?
He should be.
No.
He shouldn't be the big
joker. You say it best. Last year, he didn't play well, right? He didn't play terrible, but he didn't play well.
Yep.
So I'm not going to hold that against him because one bad year can't dictate
of course.
What he's done.
Yes,
right? Same thing with Russell Wilson. But what I'm saying is he's not the biggest wild card in the deck.
So
right?
So we're
it's saying. It's the Chiefs.
It's Patrick Mahomes.
Okay, come on now. Okay, come on.
Okay. I mean, last time I played Spades, there are multiple jokers. So there's big joker, little joker. And then if we're playing, the two is wild. Like it just depends. I don't know how y'all play.
You just never know.
But for me, we got jokers. So I'm thinking, you're talking about, oh, man, I don't know. And he may not have enough. And we got the offensive rookie of the year,
mm-hmm.
the defensive rookie of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I think I just saw Big Quinnen Williams get paid, right?
Okay. A lot of money.
We just got Dalvin Cook.
That happened.
I mean, we got him his old offensive coordinator, Nathaniel Hackett.
They got him.
He has everything that he wants. If this was an argument that we were having and he was LeBron, we would say he got to do it. Oh, he got to do it. LeBron got AD. He got to do it. But now we're saying with Aaron Rodgers, I don't know. We're going to temper expectations. Maybe it's almost like when you're a kid, and I don't know if at school you had field day where everyone's doing the events or whatever, and they give out ribbons.
Mm-hmm.
There's a blue one that you win.
Yeah.
But, Shady, you're saying you're okay if you get the purple and the yellow one, the one that your mom don't even know. What do I do with this?
I don't know.
Where do I put this one in?
Where you from?
I'm from North Carolina.
I don't ribbons and all that. I don't do none of that. I don't know where you from. I don't do no ribbons. They give cupcakes. I don't know what you're talking about.
When we return, we will talk about where a bunch of players currently are and who won over the preseason and who lost. Tons of phenomenal performances, some better than others. We're going to tell you our biggest preseason winners, our biggest preseason losers. That is next on Speak. Do not go anywhere. Remember, check us out every day on the Fox Sports Channel on SiriusXM. There's a couple jokers in that deck now, but...
Greetings, soccer fans. Are you ready for the 2023 FIFA Women's World Cup? Because we are. That's right. Australia and New Zealand, look out. State of the Union is coming.
Off the post and in!
And we'll be going above and beyond down under. We'll have new podcast episodes every single match day. So follow Alexi Lawless's State of the Union on the Fox app, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, family? Okay, week one of the NFL preseason is officially in the books. Plenty of players looking to prove themselves. So we have to start with our biggest winners of the weekend, then we will give you our biggest losers. When I think about everybody who won on the weekend, y'all saw the board. Justin Fields was my biggest winner, and it wasn't necessarily because of what he did, but he's the biggest winner because now he finally has won due to the talent around him. You got DJ Moore taking screens to the crib. You got Khalil Herbert taking screens to the crib. Now Justin's evasiveness and his elusiveness, it will finally come to fruition, if you will. Last year, Justin Fields was scrambling. He had to do it all by himself. But now Justin Fields actually realizes, oh, I have help out there. Bucky, when you watch Fields play, what was your biggest kind of takeaway?
Oh, look, I love that he finally has the support. Because he should have been a guy that we've talked about. Like, they took Trey Lance over him. They took Zach Wilson over him. He should have been the guy that came off the board right behind Trevor Lawrence. Now he has the opportunity to show that he's more than just a runner. I'm excited about what's going on in Chicago.
Joy, biggest winner for you.
I was trying to stay with them. I hate to cut you off. I've never seen a bunch of men that are so excited about 2-yard passes, 1-yard passes. I'm sorry.
It mattered.
The whole time Bucky's talking. All right, we'll get my composure.
Oh, my God.
My week one preseason winner, we're doing television, is the Saints. Derek Carr looked great. This is a very winnable division. He's clearly the best quarterback in the division. You got Baker Mayfield, you have a rookie in Bryce Young, and Desmond Ridder. Keep in mind, Saints defense was very good last year. Mm-hmm. They were top five in several categories, total defense, fifth in total defense, second in passing defense, and fifth in defensive sacks. They have Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas. They have all these weapons, and Derek Carr looked poised, confident, precision, excited. That's what I want to see from a starting quarterback that's a veteran. So I think the Saints are the preseason.
I think the Saints can go far. Yeah.
Derek looked good.
Derek did look good. And like Joyce said, not only do the Saints have talent on defense, but their roster is very veteran. Yeah. Now, unfortunately, they're veteran good, not veteran elite. But like Cam Jordan, he's a fringe Hall of Famer. Yep. I think he'll get in. Right. Marshawn Lattimore, haven't forgotten about him. DeMario Davis, a linebacker, he came to the National Football League with me. That's how long he's been playing ball. Ty Matthew on the back end of safety. Yep. So you got a veteran rusher, you got a veteran backer, a veteran corner, a veteran safety, and you got Derek Carr, a veteran quarterback leading the team. Like, I think there's
I think Mike Thomas, I think he gets him back in the groove.
I hope so. 2-5. Right, biggest
here we go.
Season winner.
I hate to do it, but I gotta do it. I'm going to Dallas to get mines.
Oh yeah.
Deuce Vaughn.
Deuce on the loose.
Deuce did his thing. I'm like, who this little dude? He running and shaking. I watched him at Kansas State, and I wasn't sure if it could translate to the league. You know, he's a smaller dude, but you know, he get the ball a lot. Can he do this in the NFL? Sure enough, watch him. He looked good. Jump cuts, making guys miss, reading the blocks. He had a great vision. I didn't know how good his vision was, and he showed me in the preseason game against the Jaguars. And it's funny, I had to call Sproles. Now, I'm like, what other 5'5 or 5'6 guy I could call? Right? Darren Sproles, I called him. I said, what do you think about Deuce Vaughn? He said, listen,
that dude.
That little dude is nice. Yeah. I can't wait to see him in the passing game. He looked great in the running game. You put him in the pass, sprinkle in there. Pollard goes out, needs a breather, needs some water. You put Deuce in there, and he held it down. So I'm super excited for him, man. And that team is so explosive. I hate to say it because you know what it is with your boy inside that green.
Yep. But I'm keeping
it honest. I like Deuce.
It'll be fascinating because Sproles would text me, Darren Sproles, 15-year NFL veteran, former teammate of Shady and I. He would text me all the time during Deuce Vaughn's college games, like, hey, this dude is nice, man. He was just as good as me in college. But Sproles was a returner is how he got his start in the league. Deuce Vaughn, not so much a returner. So Deuce is really going to have to excel in the running back room. But like Shady said, Ezekiel Elliott, he just signed with the Patriots. He ain't coming back. Yeah. Rojo, he suspended the first two games.
He is.
So all the Cowboys have is Tony Pollard coming off a broken leg. There is space there for Deuce Vaughn to maybe get that RB2 slot. We'll see what
happens. Only issue I have with Deuce, I got to be honest, is that 42 is ugly.
Yeah, it's not.
Ask for 25, you know what I mean? 25, 20, or he probably got 20, something else to 42. That's 42. It looked big, too. Like,
he's little. They just gave it to him. The quick man just threw it over there.
This is not the longest yard. They got a better jersey for him than that. Come on now. Stop playing.
Bucky, who is your
favorite? I feel like Shady and I are kindred spirits. Like, we're flipping. So now I'm going to go to the Eagles and talk about Jalen Carter and how impressive I was with him because in the draft,
first play.
Everybody's like, oh, we can't take him. We don't know about the character, whatever. But then quickly, he reminded us why he should have been the number one overall pick. You saw the size. You saw the dominance. And the one thing that the Eagles have always done, they invest in the front line, offensive and defensive line. They have it. It looks like they found another one, and they surrounded him with his old Georgia boys. It could be a problem. Could be a problem for a lot of people.
It looks good.
Because he is legit.
Well, speaking of lines, when I talk about my biggest loser from preseason week one, it's got to be the Broncos offensive line.
Yeah, they
had Russell Wilson scrambling the entirety of the game. Like, when I really think about the Broncos O-line, they're what might hold the Broncos back. Russell Wilson, I think he'll get back right. Sean Payton, I think he'll have them dudes right. Russell Wilson has to figure out Javonte Williams coming off a knee injury, Shady, if I'm not mistaken. It's coming off some sort of lower leg injury. So the Broncos offensive line was my biggest week one loser. Joy, who was yours?
I don't want this to become my theme this year, but I got to go with the 49ers. I mean, once again, Trey Lance doesn't look like he's got it yet. He was a huge investment for the Niners. Now, I understand they lucked into Brock Purdy. Don't talk to me about it. You lucked into him. He was the last pick in the draft. You get no credit for that whatsoever. It was God sent. Do not even talk to me about the intention of that pick. So Brock Purdy looked great when he got his opportunity, but I reserve the right to see what he looks like after this injury during the regular season. I want to see a couple games from him. He's absolutely earned the starting job, no question about that. But I want to see what it all looks like. We know Trey Lance isn't going to be able to step into that if there's an injury. And if you want to pitch me on Sam Darnold, I have, I don't know, better things to do. So I think I was really hoping to see not Trey Lance step into this wow, like, oh, no, maybe he's going to compete for the starting position, but just look better than what we saw from him.
It didn't look great. It didn't look great. He has to get better. Maybe a little more time, a little more seasoning. Maybe he'll come along. That's the
you
only
really
saving
believe
grace.
That? Because I don't believe
I mean,
that.
I don't believe it. I believe he is.
Like, you can slow cook it too far, right?
I mean, you can't. I don't believe he is what he is.
Bucky, as a scout, because you watch a lot of the college game, one of the best in the business at doing it, and I've talked to some Niners individuals, but I'm interested in your take, how do the Niners miss on a player like Trey Lance in that capacity?
Well, I mean, I think what happens is you always want more, right? You think about the offense, you say, hey, I got Debo, I got this, we put this guy in who can run around, and you saw he was doing it. North Dakota, he was getting busy. He was doing all that, but he was playing at a smaller school, different level of competition. Didn't play his final season, and so you're hoping that he would, because remember, Carson Wentz.
Same thing.
Carson Wentz had come out of there, and so there was some thought that maybe he would be like that. When Carson was playing well, it went sideways, but maybe they thought they could get that added dimension to the offense, kind of like when Kyle Shanahan had Robert Griffin. They were able to do some different things.
Very good point. 2-5, biggest loser for you off the week one.
Joy, she stole it. You stole my thunder. You stole my fire. I mean, when I watch Trey Lance, I can't see how I don't want to blame them, right? I hate to blame people, but somebody has to take some blame. There's no way you think that he could be a starting quarterback in the NFL. Like, what shows you that? Sometimes with, like, quarterbacks or players, it's something they do special. For me to take you in the first round, some of that dude special, I got to go get him, right? When I look at him, there's nothing he does special. There's nothing he does exceptional. There's nothing he does good, right? I watched him read easy, simple reads, cover two reads, right? Right? The cornerback jumps on an out route. You got the seam, or not seam, but you got the whole shot. You don't take, like, easy stuff. All his reads are like all delayed, simple reads. And I thought he was an athlete. They talked about how he can move a little bit. I watch him. I don't think he can run. The loser for me is easily Trey Lance.
So let's park here for a moment, because, Bucky, I haven't heard anything from you outside of your previous thought on Trey Lance. Let's park here before we go to break. Trey Lance, if you are the 49ers, what's your move with him? Because your hands are kind of tied at this point. Thankfully, you found a replacement in Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy should be the future. Trey Lance, though, it is evident, at least to me, right? His ankle has nothing to do with his mind. And at this point, for me, Trey Lance's mind does not process fast enough. So if you're the Niners, what's your move with him?
The only thing you can do is try and build back his confidence. There's nothing you can do, because right now the money prevents you from being able to move on from him. No one's going to trade for him.
Right.
So you're stuck with him. So you got to try and figure out a way to maybe build him up, so maybe next preseason he can show us something. But there's nothing they can do. He's designated to be a game day inactive for the entire season. And you just hope that he can get some reps in practice that will enable him to be something next year.
What pick was that?
3.
You trade up, hold on for 1 second. This is real quick. Maybe because I'm a second round pick, I get mad about this, but you trade up to get him 2 first rounders and an additional first rounder for that year, right? And then take him in 3rd pick, and now he's going to be inactive the whole year? And he's 20 something? Yeah,
probably 23.
Come on.
10 more man guarantee.
Bro, I'm just saying, like, that ooh, like.
Why does it hurt you so hard?
Because, like, what are we doing here? Like, we killing him on TV because he looks so bad, which he deserves it. But the real blame should go to the front office of the Niners. I need them to step out and say, look, hey, man, we made a mistake, right? I don't want to hear about he can't grasp the offense. He's not focused. You know, it was reports last year he's in a strip club. I don't want to hear none of that. I need y'all, right, to say, hey, look, that's on us. We thought that this player from a smaller school could get it done. He looked good. He didn't play a lot of college ball. He didn't throw the ball a lot, but we thought that we could get something good with him, and we didn't. I need him to say that. Because I don't want to keep every day killing Trey Lance. I'm a former player, and I love my players, but I got to do my job, and he looked awful, like god-awful. But it's not his fault, Acho.
It's not.
I don't think
he didn't have to be picked in the third pick.
I don't think it's his fault either, because where he was picked and what they used to get him is what created the expectations. Expectations breed disappointment. So if he was drafted in the third or fourth round, we wouldn't put him in this space.
Yeah.
But what I'm trying to figure out, what made you think using that type of draft capital? It's one thing if you just took him at three, like you have the third pick. You take him at three, okay, you're taking a swing. They got naked on this swing. The helmets falling off, right. The pads and stuff dripping over the base. Like, they went all out for a player that didn't even have a lot of experience. Like, to me, I'm willing to take that kind of risk for a player that's played at a big school, that's in an offense with a proven coach or system, that's been up against tougher competition, that has years of experience playing that position. That's why I don't really put this at the feet of Trey Lance. And unless Brock Purdy is truly the future, which sort of gives you an edge out of this, I don't really think so, because you still lost all that capital. These are not first-round picks. Like, I don't know. Whatever. If they win a Super Bowl, it doesn't matter. But to me, if they don't, I'm with you. It's not even about accountability. I keep looking at this situation. I feel like I'm crazy.
I don't blame them, no, Bucky. The reason is like, if they thought they had them one,
yeah,
you got to go get you one. And the reason I'm looking at Trey more than I'm looking at the Niners is the Niners quarterbacks, for the most part, all succeed, at least individually.
Right, okay.
I think one of the statistics people talk least about, y'all remember the name Nick Mullins. Bucky, if mm-hmm. I'm not mistaken,
Nick Mullins,
through his first 16 starts in San Francisco, threw for over 5,000 yards. Go Google it. Nick Mullins, through his first 16 starts, if I'm not mistaken, mm-hmm. threw for over 4,000 or 5,000 yards. That's Nick Mullins. Jimmy G, y'all saw what Jimmy G did. Mm-hmm. Brock Purdy, you saw what Brock Purdy did. So you have to believe that Trey Lance will just be able to come in with all of his talent and all of his ability, to come in and be competent.
But that's my question. And your scout, talent and talent exhibited where? He didn't even play his senior year. How many games did he even play?
So I think he maybe had, like, he has less than
20
15.
Or something like that.
No, not a lot.
College
not a lot.
Games? Like,
not a lot.
Like
never
that's
over
what I'm saying.
Like,
you can
game.
Take a swing if you thought you had one. If you thought you had one at Alabama or Clemson or Georgia or LSU, USC or Pitt. Yes, at Pitt. But like, and it's not even about North Dakota State. I'm saying he didn't even have it. If he had 3 years starting at North Dakota State, okay. He played 19 games.
Yeah, I feel you on that. And he hasn't thrown for 20 passes in one game.
Like, no wonder he looks like this.
And another thing is like, so you really didn't need a quarterback, right? I hear everybody say, I mean, I'm not a big Jimmy G fan.
But
they get places, though. The Niners, they win with what they got.
True, but remember what you said.
But hold on.
The Super Bowl.
But listen, every team probably said that. Every team said, hey, we want Jimmy G to throw the ball.
Correct.
But they won all the way up there.
And
it was a close game with us, the Niners and the Chiefs. But my thing is, like, you could have got that pick if you want to trade to get somebody mm-hmm. and got a really good, dominant player. With that pick, right? Parsons could have been one of them picks. Not saying him, but I'm saying that value.
And well, at the end of the day, the truth of the matter is they don't miss it. Like, they just don't, because you found a quarterback in Brock Purdy who played last year.
I don't believe that. You don't at all?
They don't miss it.
So wait, so you're telling me that you miss, so you trade these draft picks and you completely miss. Like, the course right here, you miss way over here, right? You tell me they're not going to think about that at all?
I'm just saying the Niners organization does not miss it. Remember 2012. Here's why I say that. 2012, my draft class, the former Redskins, current
Commanders,
they took Robert Griffin, number two overall.
Okay.
Remember, Shanahan was there, America, which is, I don't know why I'm now just tying this together. Bucky, if you recall, they traded a lot for Robert Griffin. Now, Robert Griffin in college was a dude that had to play him for 4 years. But they drafted Kirk Cousins in the fourth round. Kirk Cousins actually kept Washington Commanders stable once RG3 got hurt and no longer amounted to what we thought he was supposed to amount to. So people in Washington weren't like, oh, no, we don't have Robert. They're like, oh, well, still got Kirk. Kirk throwing for 4,900 yards.
And what did they do with Kirk? Franchise tagged him like 15 times, tricked it off. They've been through like 20 quarterbacks since then, didn't win anything, and have now gone through three names and new ownership. Washington is an extremely poorly run organization. Maybe one of the worst in sports history.
Correct. Mm. Okay? But I'm simply
saying... And they didn't win anything. And the reason why I push back on saying that they don't miss these picks is because until this is a fully formed success, meaning there's one of these on here... then, yeah, you miss it. Because what do they compete? What do they have this insane roster for if you're not competing for a championship?
But they are competing for championships.
In spite of.
Words are important. Speak. Winning one. Win a championship. And maybe they will this year, and then you'll be right. But to me, until you win a championship with this roster, with all this talent, you miss those picks, and you still don't have your future.
But the dilemma is all of these teams that traded up for picks, whether it was the Rams who acquired Jared Goff, however they acquired Goff, and all of these dudes who trade up for picks, they don't win them either.
Like the Rams have a Super Bowl.
Correct, but not with the dude they traded, not with
Goff. They also went to a Super Bowl.
But right. but they didn't win it. The Niners went to a Super Bowl, too.
No, but...
Like, we're talking about winning these joints.
But what she's saying is, okay, yeah, listen, to correct a wrong is win a championship. And who did that? And I'm backing her up. Who did that? The Rams. So if you try to get Goff, however that might go, you trade him, you win a championship, so he erases it. Yeah, we missed with him, but we got a championship. Ding, 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 ding. But
and they stole Detroit's quarterback, sent Jared there, and won a Super Bowl with your man.
I'm sitting here thinking,
I got a ring with your man.
Yeah. If you're a 49ers fan and you go to the NFC Championship game last year versus the Philadelphia Eagles and you lose, I just don't know how you can be that disappointed. Like, I just don't know how.
Niners are extremely well run. They compete every single year.
They have
a ton of talent. They have a great fan base. They're one of the best organizations in sports. But what I'm saying is, this is a loss to me unless you win a championship with this roster that's put this orb that we've been talking about. Unless you win a championship with it, you just like to compete at a high level. There's difference. There's levels.
Well, Anthony Richardson is about to find out very quickly the levels between college and the NFL. The Colts announced the number 4 overall pick in the last draft will be their starter. Huge mistake.
Let's go. Let's go.
Huge success. Next.
Let's go.
On speed. About to get spicy.
Sure. Florida clap, huh?
Hey, college football fans. Joel Klatt here. We are bringing you the best college football analysis every week. Any questions? Then send them into the Joel Klatt Show mailbag. Follow the Joel Klatt Show on the Fox Sports app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can help those affected by the wildfires in Hawaii. Your donation enables the Red Cross to prepare for, respond to, and help people recover from these disasters. Go to redcross.org/foxforward. After just one quarter of preseason action, the Colts have named Anthony Richardson, number 4 overall pick, their starting quarterback. Now, this year's 4th overall pick was shocked when he heard the news, but said he is chasing greatness and wants his legacy to be forever, forever, forever remembered. Bucky, I think this is the worst decision the Colts could make. not only for their organization, but also for Anthony Richardson. For me, it's very simple. If you have a player that is not yet ready to play, allow him to learn from the mistakes of others. I believe a fool learns from his own mistakes, a wise man learns from the mistakes of others. I would rather Anthony Richardson learn from other people's mistakes as opposed to making his own. Let's talk about the greatest quarterbacks currently playing the game or the greatest quarterbacks who have ever played the game. Tom Brady did not start right away. Aaron Rodgers did not start right away. Yeah. Lamar Jackson did not start right away. Josh Allen did not start right away. Patrick Mahomes did not start right away. Even the quarterbacks, Justin Herbert, he didn't even start right away. The one that I think of who did, Joe Burrow. But think about the path Joe Burrow had to traverse in college. Joe Burrow led the greatest team in the history of college football to a 15-0 record. Even greater in my mind than the Miami Hurricanes. So Joe Burrow had a different path that he had to traverse. And again, Joe Burrow did not play the entirety of his rookie season. He got hurt and still went to the bench to learn. I think the biggest mistake the Colts could make is starting Anthony Richardson right away. I don't want him to incur the damage that will occur when he has bad plays. Bucky, where do you stand?
Oh, I stand right there with you. We just did a segment talking about Trey Lance. It's the same situation. Trey Lance came into the league with not a lot of starts. Anthony Richardson comes into the league with only 1 year of collegiate experience.
And it wasn't a good
one. And that 1 year was not great.
Not at all.
He completed less than 54% of his passes. He has 654 rushing yards, 17-9 touchdown to interception ratio. But that doesn't scream, one, to be taken fourth overall. Two, it definitely doesn't scream, hey, let him be the starting quarterback. And then the other night, did I miss something? I didn't see, like, great performance from him to be named the starter. Gift him the starting job, to me, it's all bad. And I don't know how anyone in the locker room can look at him and be like, hey, man, that's the guy that's going to lead us to the promised land just based on what he's displayed.
Okay, so a lot just happened. One, you're going to stand on that hurricane stake on your own. love LSU, though. Go Tigers. This is one of my most consistent takes throughout my career. Always start young quarterbacks who are taken in the top of the first round of the draft. Any other position that's taken in the top 10, top 15, anywhere in the first round for that matter, is expected to be a starter and contributor in year one. Are they expected to be great in year one? No, they're rookies. But they're expected to contribute year one. You're the fourth overall pick. Now, he didn't choose himself. They did. So if he's not ready, why are you drafting him fourth overall in the draft if he's not ready to play right now? One. Two, you mentioned all the guys that sat in those situations. Patrick Mahomes sat in a pretty good situation, right? Aaron Rodgers sat in a pretty good situation. Right. Josh Allen, pretty okay situation. Right. And he did play pretty quickly. Justin Herbert played right away. Lamar Jackson played pretty quickly.
Correct. But right? Pretty quickly is not starting right away.
All right, so this is why I feel this way. Forget the fact that any other position would be expected to start. I don't think that you get better at doing something by watching other people do it, particularly something that you have to physically do, something that you have to mentally process. The speed of the game is cranked up to an entire other level. Trey Lance still can't start. Why can't he play right now? He doesn't have any experience. He's been watching all kinds of people throw the ball, watching this guy throw the ball and that guy throw the ball, and he still looks exactly the same. So how can you argue that it's benefited Trey Lance at all not to play? Now, part of it was because of injury, but he's not gotten better. There are also examples of guys who played right away who had a lot of success. You mentioned Joe Burrow. You also have Matthew Stafford. You also have Joe Flacco. You have Russell Wilson.
Stafford didn't have a lot of success.
So Stafford has a championship ring.
In year 12 or 13.
How did he get to the Rams in the first place?
He got traded there.
Why did he get traded there?
He started 0-4. He was 0-4 in the playoffs.
I don't understand. Is Matthew Stafford a Super Bowl champion?
13 years later,
yes. So he developed into a Super Bowl champion. You can make the argument for all of these guys. My pushback is, one, who in that locker room is talking about promised land? Y'all not ready for the promised land. Y'all not in a promised land. Don't even use that phrase. It's not applied to the Colts this year. You are in a development stage in your organization's process. The Packers weren't in a development stage. They had Brett Favre. The Chiefs weren't in a development stage. All of those teams that you mentioned weren't in a development stage. They had the grace and the time to allow those guys to sit, and they had someone worthy of sitting behind. No offense. All right, but who is he learning from here?
But you, in my mind, it's like, and Shady, you were there with Josh Allen. It's not so much even having somebody worthy of sitting behind as it is. To me, the difference between good players and great players in the NFL is confidence. Mm-hmm. Like, that's you have the elites like LeSean McCoy who just have crazy physical ability, but for the most part, it's confidence. And I don't want Anthony Richardson to lose all of his confidence 2-5 by throwing him out there early. They start 0-5. He has 2 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, and now the dude's lost his confidence.
Well, I'll say this. I don't think it's a mistake. Now, I was taught from Andy Reid that he sits his quarterbacks in draft, And then let them learn a little bit, learn how to be a pro, how to watch tape, you know, how to get the team together, build that chemistry in the locker room. And then when they're ready, go out there and play. So I was taught that. But I think with this situation with Anthony Richardson is I don't mind it. Right. I think I'm trying to see the other side of it. And I think that he has a lot of talent. He wasn't great in college. But when I even watched his tape here against the Bills, he showed me some different things, right? He's a 6'4 dude. He's 250 pounds, front of 4'4. Mm-hmm. He's gifted, God gifted. Yep. He made that pass to the right side to the end zone. That should have been a touchdown. I think you can learn from it. But even all the guys you talked about, which you're totally right. But even to get the argument on the other side of starting him, mm-hmm. Peyton Manning, let's stay with the Colts. He set the rookie interception record as a starter, right? He went from what? 3-13 as a rookie,
I believe.
To 13-3. And then we look at him as one of the greatest of all time. Now, I'm not saying Andy Richardson could be that. I just think that, okay, maybe times are changing, right? I've been used to seeing one way and learn from one of the best coaches of all time, in my opinion, Andy Reid. And he's taught us that, you know, like the coach of players, get him right, get him to that point where now go out there and play. But this may work. It worked for Peyton Manning. It might work for him.
What I would want to see is do with Anthony Richardson what the Eagles did with Jalen Hurts.
Okay.
Like, give him
set too.
Yes, that's my point.
Oh, okay.
Give him some packages. Give him some plays.
Right, right.
You know, give him a goal line package. Let him run a couple inside zone. Let him run a couple QB keepers, QB powers. Put him into the red zone. Let him score some touchdowns. Yeah. Let Minshew do all the work or Ellinger do all the work.
Yes.
Let him score some touchdowns. Start him if you want to by week 12 or 13.
Right, right, right.
Start
right.
him next year and yes. then don't incur nearly as much damage mentally, emotionally, physically. Like, what do you gain? There's just so much that you can lose by yeah. starting somebody who's yeah. just he's just not good. He's just not good enough to play right now.
And so it's not only that, it's the temperament. Does he have the temperament to deal with all the adversity that is about to come his way? We saw how it changed Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan had been an MVP, and it completely rocked his world playing up there in Indianapolis. Offensive line let him get hit. So how is Anthony Richardson going to deal with the adversity that is coming? Your running back is not happy, so he may or may not be there. You talk about this offensive line still struggling to piecemeal together. And you have a first-time head coach.
Who's the leader, but like who's that's really my biggest other issue though, Joy, is like who can Anthony Richardson lean on? Can't lean on a running back room because Jonathan Taylor upset. Can't lean on a wide receiver room because they're all young. Can't lean on the head coach because he's in his first year. Who offensively can he be like, hey man, you got me, yeah, I got you. Hey, you got me, yeah, I got like what? Everybody just young. It's blind leading the blind.
He can lean on his bank account because he was the fourth overall pick. This is professional football. This ain't college. This isn't high school. What is this picture that we're painting for Colts fans? Yay, Gardner Minshew through the first 12 weeks. Enjoy, guys. Love that for you. This is a business on top of it. I'm interested in seeing what he can do. Yes, he might fail. Okay, everyone in this league does. Pick yourself up and try again.
But that's so easy.
Furthermore, there are contract structures that benefit you if you find out he's not good within the first 2 years. You sit him for a year. He's not developing on the field. He's not seeing defenses in real time. He's not adjusting to the speed of the NFL. He's watching Gardner Minshew do all of that.
Yeah, that's a benefit. That's what
How?
I'm saying.
He's not learning from Brett Favre. He's not getting tutelage from Andy Reid.
Who was ahead
He's watching Gardner Minshew. He has to go out there and learn how to do this.
Correct.
If he fails this year, so what?
But
he's a rookie. What are the expectations for him anyway right now?
There are mistakes that other people can make that he doesn't have to. Deshaun Watson backed up. I don't even know who it was. Who Deshaun Watson backed
up? From Pitt. How do I forget his name?
Tom Savage backed up
Josh Allen backed up Tyrod Taylor, and then the other dude, and then Nathan Peterman, Lamar Jackson backed up an old Joe Flacco.
Joe was never this.
You know, like an old Joe Flacco. It's like. You can, at least in my experience.
But there are examples of guys who've started right away that have had success as well.
But the success that they had, I'm just wondering, how would it have looked even if they didn't have to go through the fire? I don't think Trevor Lawrence benefited from starting his rookie season and all that chaos.
He didn't.
I don't think he became a better player.
He absolutely knows how to handle the most amount of adversity that anybody dealt with in the entire year. How did it hurt him?
Because the risk that you can run by crushing a player's confidence, shout out to Trevor Lawrence. He still had his talent. And here's a point I don't know why it took me so long to get to. Trevor Lawrence still had talent to lean on. He knew he was a dog in Clemson. So when he struggled, he can still be like, oh, I still got that dog in me because I've been good. Anthony Richardson can't lean on his Florida days. They weren't good. He can't lean on his dominance in Florida. It didn't exist. He can't lean on preseason dominance. It hasn't happened. So if he struggles week 1, 2, and 3, he doesn't even have a memory, Joy, of like, oh, well, you know what? I've been that dude, because he hasn't.
But he's the fourth overall pick.
Mm-hmm.
He's the fourth overall pick in the draft. You guys going to start Gardner Minshew for 12 weeks? Why am I signing up for that?
Because I'm thinking, you're thinking about the long-term success. That's really where I'm at.
I'm thinking about the long-term success. And I'm also thinking about his development. And I'm also thinking about him actually getting experience playing football. I'm not going to get better at playing football by watching other people play football, because I've been watching football my whole life and I can't play football.
Mm-hmm.
I've just, again, your experience is yours. I've just seen other people. I've seen other people get better without having to make the mistake themselves. But it also depends what kind of learner you are.
Yeah.
Some people can be good.
It also matters who you're learning from.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes is learning behind who? Andy Reid and Alex Smith. Aaron Rodgers is learning behind who? First ballot Hall of Famer Brett Favre at the Packers. Josh Allen was learning behind who? A guy that we know is a great coach now and a great professional and veteran. Like, what is the scenario where you're getting to learn? If you're getting tutelage from some of the best, if you're getting to watch some of the most complicated offenses and have it broken down for you, if you're being told, hey, you don't have to rush. We want you to develop into this. We don't want you to throw you into the fire for these reasons. Fine. Why is it? How, in what way is that the scenario for the Colts?
I think for any other situation, I would like my quarterback to sit and learn first. Because I was taught that. But I just think that for this team, they don't have a lot of stars, right? Mm-hmm. So, like my thing is, like, why are we going, what are we waiting for? They don't have a lot of players. Their best player is Jonathan Taylor, who's a dog. I don't know how that's going to shake up. He's going to play or not with the contract. But I was just thinking, okay, an athletic quarterback, they maybe do a lot of RPOs, maybe give him safe passes. But they don't have a lot of stars to even rely on. So, I mean, it can go both ways. I just think that the confidence, now, one thing you did say I agree with, man, you lose that confidence, bro, that's the end of the world.
Yeah.
I feel like when I was a rookie, I was just happy to be there, right? And every little small mistake, my confidence would go like, oh, dang, I don't want to mess up. I'm not even worried about breaking tackles and trying to score. Yeah. I just don't want to mess up. Mm-hmm. And I think as a quarterback, it can be even harder. I'm talking about just running the ball and blocking and catching the ball. But as a quarterback, you got to know everything. So it can work. It might work out both ways. I don't ever know. But if you lose that confidence, though, I mean, he's going to be in trouble.
Well, speaking of someone who's not short on confidence, the Cowboys star DeMarcus Lawrence. DeMarcus Lawrence has issued a warning to every NFL team. You want to hear exactly what he had to say. Cowboys talking crazy. That's next on Speak.
Yo. Harper hits one in the air. Looks back. It goes. Harper, the swing of his life.
MLB playoffs are near, and you know what that means, Alex?
Yep. Flippin' Bats will be staying up late and having all the fun.
From breaking down the most important stories and games, nobody's done what he's doing. Nobody. Not even Babe Ruth.
To interviewing baseball's biggest stars.
I felt like I was pitching more stress. I was trying to be so perfect.
No one covers America's pastime like us.
So as we sprint towards this year's World Series on Fox, please make sure to listen, follow, and subscribe to Flippin' Bats with Ben Verlander and me, Alex Curry.
Baseball is fun. And so are we. We're going to have fun, dang it. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, y'all, this is one of my favorite topics of the day. Cowboys defense, y'all know they are loaded with playmakers, but they're not shy about letting it be known. DeMarcus Lawrence, star defensive end, he issued a warning for opposing NFL offenses saying, quote, just throw the ball up and see. It's nowhere to run. It's nowhere to hide. Either way you're going to go, you're going to meet the results. Not exactly sure what it means, but I liked it. Bucky, what do you make of DeMarcus Lawrence kind of issuing that NFL message?
Don't let him know. I know it's the annual thing that we do here. But this is the year, Shady.
Oh, man.
I know it pains you, but this is the year. This is the Cowboys' year.
Who's year? Oh, no, who's
this,
year?
This is the Cowboys' year. America's team is ready. They got all the pieces in place. They got the quarterback ready. Coming off the injury, he's ready. He got his play caller. Mike McCarthy's going to manage the game. You got the defense ready. Maybe the best defender in the game in Micah Parsons.
I agree.
Maybe the best defender in the game in Micah Parsons. That. You just got your cornerback paid, so he's a little loose with the list. But I feel like that's what Dallas is doing. They're embracing the villain. And so I'm all about it. I love this from the Cowboys because, look, man, you got to walk it like you're talking. Mm, so now they've like talked it. Hey. Now you got to do it. I mean, you know, I'm the old stiff old man. But yeah, I got that.
Is it my go?
It's your turn, big dog.
I actually love it, though. I truly do. DeMarcus Lawrence speaking his truth. When I went to that camp, right, and I see all them players, Stephon Gilmore is one of my guys. We talk all the time. He said, yo, this team is loaded. He's right. You look at the defense. They talk about Parsons. Mm-hmm. Top one, top two, top threes, one of them guys on defense. Hell of a player, right? And then you look at in the back, in the secondary. They got players. Where are you going to throw the ball at? Got some solid safety, right? You got two corners that lock up. Where you want to throw it? So I do think that they have a solid team, solid defense, a lot of talent.
You ready? You ready?
But the only thing, though, that's going to keep the Cowboys from winning, not even the championship. I don't think they're even going to no championship. They ain't going to no NFC title game. They ain't going to nothing like that. But to even to win a division, to win a division, all that talent is cool. It got to come through Philadelphia. Kobe Bryant's one of my greatest of all time athletes. Rest in peace. He said, he told him and Iris was going at it. He said, that's all cool. It got to come through L.A. It's all cool. It got to come through Philly.
What? Get to see
DeMarcus. DeMarcus.
I think he's he's talking about the defense. It sounds like he's talking about the defense. So I'm for it. Yeah. I think he's right.
He's right.
I also like the, you know, ain't no one run to, baby. That's only one. I'm only one. I know you got that.
I mean, I know that. Okay, but
you just didn't want to sing it.
I was looking at this meat bill and all this stuff. Yeah, in my head. I was ready to. Meek Mill, you know,
Bucky. He's right. There isn't anywhere, and the defense was great and explosive last year, and they've added to it. So I don't see where the lie is. But I feel like he's talking about the defense.
If he's talking about the defense, which I think he is, I love what DeMarcus Lawrence has to say. I mean, I love it. You run left, you run into Parsons. You run right, you run into DeMarcus Lawrence. You throw left, you throw to Diggs. You throw right, you throw to Gilmore. Oof. You test out the back end, you got Donovan Wilson back there. You might have Hooker back there. You might have Kurse back there. There really is nowhere to go. You can try them up the middle, but they drafted first-round Mozzie Smith out of Michigan.
Big boy.
So
big
go
boy.
Wherever you want. There will be a dog right there to meet you. There's an all-pro cornerback. There's an all-pro defensive end. There's Pro Bowl defensive ends. There's a defensive player of the year at the other cornerback. So there are studs all across the field.
It sounds like Shade White. It sounds like I can write them in. I'm making my bracket.
No, because listen, DeMarcus is right. I agree with DeMarcus on that defense. We all do. But what happens when that same type of the defense is that good, but then it's the team offense, you play in the offense is that good? Because I think that defense line is pretty good. I think the Eagles' offense line is pretty good.
Real good.
I think the Eagles got some pretty good running backs.
They're real good.
Cowboys got some decent linebackers.
Yeah.
The Cowboys got some great cornerbacks.
Great corner, but
I think the Eagles got some great wide receivers.
He's not wrong.
Hold up.
He's not wrong.
They got some good secondary safeties.
They do.
But we got a great cornerback. I don't know. So all I'm saying is he is right. DeMarcus Lawrence is right. Great juggernaut defense. But when you play that offense, it's just as good. Maybe better. What happens?
I got to.
Because last year, that team.
That was last year, though.
Because they had that Meek Mills on and a little Uzi, and they was playing the Super Bowl. I don't know where the Cowboys was at. I don't know.
Did they win?
Maybe Bucky could tell us.
That was a really good one, Shady.
It was. Did I miss it?
Hold on, man. They win?
Yeah.
Don't make me do that.
Bucky, do you think the Cowboys got the advantage over the Eagles this year? If so, why?
Oh, I think they got him because when Dak Prescott is healthy and available, he owns the division. And so we know what this is, and he can be upset.
Shady
I know it's tough for you.
Where Shady go?
As a fan, it's tough.
Shady left. You know what Shady said?
Shady.
And I'm done with it.
Where Shady?
I'm done with it.
I think Shady went back to Philly. Shady!
Come back! Shady! Come back, lady!
He really went.
Yeah, he left.
I think
he can't take it anymore.
The difference maker is Dak Prescott?
Oh, yeah. Like, he's healthy.
I mean, I would agree.
The thumb last year.
I just had to.
You wax poetic about the Cowboys all day.
I've been saying my therapist.
All day. Your favorite, preseason guy to watch was Deuce Vaughn.
She said sometimes just take a deep breath and walk off.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Right? When people start talking that bull crap and start just getting wild and just saying things that's not true. Deep breath and take a walk. He started talking about Dak's going. I just had to. I'm back now, though.
You're learning.
What did I miss?
Nothing important. I'm glad
I got
you.
I actually agree with you, Bucky. I think Dak is the difference maker also.
Yeah, he is.
But
let's see. You're probably like a 7-3. I'm trying to figure out your hat size so we get you that championship hat.
Oh, man.
Send it right to you.
Trying to figure out
where you at.
You know, this is the beginning of the Dallas Cowboys cycle. You know that, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's our year.
This is it.
I cannot wait for
boys.
I cannot wait for the commercial, but I swear.
Shady, I won't make you wait any longer. We return, Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, we have to talk about them. They've had an incredible offseason, but will the results actually improve? That's next on Speak. Shady, take a lap, man. Take a lap, bro. You need
or deep breath first, then a lap.
Hey, college football fans. This is RJ Young, host of Fox Sports' number one college football show. The biggest names, the biggest games. The theme is we do it big on this here thing. Please subscribe on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, the Ravens have their sights set high after making noise this offseason. Lamar Jackson, Odell Beckham Jr., they already seem to have a strong rapport. Jackson said, quote, "It's like throwing an alley-oop and he's just finishing the dunk." Baltimore hasn't gotten past the divisional round since 2012. That is a long time. Joy Taylor, a lot of expectations, a lot of hope, a lot of promise, but do you expect better results from the Ravens this season?
Yes, but not because of all of the additions. I expect Lamar Jackson to be available at the end of the season. And to me, that's really all that matters. I mean, he had a nice season last year. They were 8-4 with Lamar Jackson. He was so good that he missed the end of the season and they still made the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So to me, this is all really contingent on Lamar Jackson being healthy. We know what Lamar is capable of. He's a unanimous MVP. We know what these pieces that they brought in are capable of. We've seen them have success elsewhere as well. He has a new offensive coordinator. They're going to lean into the new system. I think it'll be exciting. I think it's going to look a little different. But to me, all of it is great. I'm excited to see it. But it all is contingent on Lamar Jackson being healthy at the end of the year.
It's funny. It's a blessing and a curse, Bucky. We haven't seen so much of Lamar. So I agree with Joy to some degree. Like, individually, I know what Lamar's capable of. But collectively, I can't say that I do, only because I haven't seen him get past the divisional round. So, like, I don't know if Lamar is capable of going to an AFC championship game, nor do I know if he's capable of winning one. Bucky, I am confused on the Ravens' results this year. Because what you're hoping for, what I'm hoping for is Odell Beckham, who's been hurt, to be healthy. J.K. Dobbins, who's been hurt, to be healthy. Rashad Bateman, who's been hurt, to be healthy. Lamar Jackson, who's been hurt, to be healthy. Offensive coordinator who was in college the last 2 years to come back and they'd be firing on all cylinders, Todd Monken. I'm hoping for a lot. You know what I'm saying?
Like, JK hurt.
I'm trusting in a lot to go right, Bucky. That's why I think individually they'll ball. Collectively, I don't know how far they'll go. Break it down for me.
Different doesn't mean better. It doesn't. Just because it's going to be different, they're going to throw it around the yard. They're getting out of the option offense that I saw Lamar Jackson win the MVP when they were running the football.
Unanimous.
I mean, unanimous MVP. Maybe the only one that we've seen.
Only one.
But it doesn't mean it's going to be better. And I know everyone's excited about OBJ, and I love him. He was one of my favorites. But I don't know how good this wide receiver core is. We talk about it because it's markedly better than what they had, but I mean, is this better than what the Bengals have been trotting out? And then what we're doing is we're asking Lamar Jackson to be a better passer than, just give you the list in the AFC, Mahomes, Burrow, Josh Allen, Herbert, Aaron Rodgers. Woo. We got Trevor Lawrence. And I'm going to say, what if Deshaun Watson bounced back? Is Lamar Jackson going to outthrow all of these guys? Because what we're asking the Ravens to do is to have an aerial attack that surpasses all of those guys. And they're going to win? I don't know. I don't see it. I don't see it.
I love it. I love the move. I love the position they're in. I think they'll have a successful year. First of all, before even the coaching change, the offensive coordinator change, Lamar Jackson is a winner. There's only one quarterback that's playing right now that's won more than him, and that's Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. He's the second most winning quarterback there is right now. So they can win. They always have a good defense. Last year, they had top 10 defense, right? A lot of them players are still there. I look at Todd Monken. What he's going to do is give Lamar Jackson the ability to either run or throw. Being under Greg Roman, which I played for, is like, it's all just run with the quarterback. Lamar don't have to do that. Let me have the ability to do everything I want to do. If I want to throw, I want to run it. And you talk about the wide receiver core. Yeah, let's say that Odell Beckham was not the same Odell Beckham, right? But I think Odell at 80% is still solid, right?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. You got that? Then you get Rashad Bateman. Ooh, I see he had some. He played pretty well
flashes before
he got injured. A lot of flashes. And the best player at camp so far in the wide receiver room is Zay Flowers. That boy can run. So if you add all that together, right? They're going to make plays. The Ravens went so far with Lamar with a basic offense. They run. They're one of the only teams that have a 300, 400-pound fullback, tight end. Like, nobody uses them no more. Mark Andrews, another one, who's one of the top tight ends in the league. I look for this offense and this team to have success this year.
The question isn't like, I think they'll be successful. My question is, how successful? Because going to the divisional game isn't success for Lamar Jackson.
Okay.
Going to the first round, that's not a success. It's really AFC championship joy or better for the Ravens, if you want to qualify and quantify it as a success. So you think if Lamar's healthy, they're there?
I think they have a good chance as any other of the top elite teams in the AFC to go there. And a lot of those teams are not. There's going to be two of them. Let's pencil in the Chiefs, because that's what they do. So it's either going to be the Ravens or the Bengals. Or the Bills, or the Dolphins, or the Chargers, or the Jets, or the Browns, or the Steelers. Let's go on and on and on. So it's going to be very difficult to define success for a lot of some even elite teams in the AFC this year. So if the Bills once again don't make it to the AFC Championship game, we're going to consider that a failure. If the Ravens don't make it to the AFC Championship game, we're going to consider that a failure.
I think
on and on and on.
I think the Ravens are this year, to me, what the Bills were last year. I don't have the same expectations for the Bills anymore. It's kind of like fool me once, fool me twice, fool me three times. Like, Bills will be good. They'll win 11, 12, 13 games. They will be really good. But I don't, like, expect them to go to the AFC Championship game. But the Ravens now? Oh, now I expect that. Lamar, you wanted receiver help. First-round pick, Zay Flowers. Odell Beckham gave him $18 million. His best offer I had heard at the time was closer to 7 or 8. You wanted a new offensive coordinator. We gave you that. Old OC got you to the playoffs basically every year. Old OC helped you get a unanimous MVP. So now I'm looking at the Ravens like, come on now.
Okay,
like,
so wait, hold on. So see, this is like, we used to be talking about these players, man. Like this is just like fantasy football. Like, for example, if I ask y'all who was the top wide receiver last year in the playoffs for the Ravens, do y'all know who he is?
No.
The DeMarcus Robinson from Florida, right? Went to Florida. Yeah, I played with him in the Chiefs. Cool, good player. Not a number one. Not a number two. Mm-hmm. Probably a three. Went to the Raiders. He moved around. So when you talk about bringing these players in, you go from winning games, getting to the playoffs with DeMarcus Robinson as your number one receiver. Now we got some real receivers in the room.
So the expectations are through the roof.
So now that's what I'm saying. When we asked the question was the results this year. I think, well, man, God, you went that far, right, with a banged-up backfield, and Robinson as your number one receiver. So why wouldn't we think that it would do better this year with more talent? Same defense. I need answers. Y'all looking at me.
I got answers. So
looking at
here's
answers,
what I want to know. So we talk about Mark Andrews. We talk about OBJ and those guys. Are they going to be able to get open on their own? Because remember, in that option offense that they were playing before, all eyes were on Lamar Jackson. It was all run heavy, play action pass, one-on-one, they could get loose. But now we're going to be a little more traditional.
Okay.
So now can we get open against the complexities? Can Lamar Jackson deal with the complexities of coverage? Because the coverage will be different now than what it's been. He'll see different looks. He'll see disguise that he wouldn't see when they were running the option and really run heavy. So we're going to see how good Lamar Jackson is as a traditional quarterback. This is what everyone wanted to see. So now it's time to show and prove if he's that dude.
But Tom Monken also has some of that read option in there, too.
Correct.
Okay, so he's going to see some of that, too, now. Okay, so if I'm a coach, what Andy Reid does all the time, with Patrick Mahomes, great situation. I asked him, like, man, this is not our traditional offense we had in Philadelphia. Like, what you change about it? When I got back with the Chiefs, when I got back there, he was like, well, I went to Pat's college. I seen all the stuff that made him great. What makes him wild? Like, whoa, this guy's great. I took some of that and I mixed it into my traditional offense. So how we know Tom Monken ain't gonna do that? Because now you got to defend a traditional offense and you got to defend Lamar Jackson.
I agree with you. My only thought is all of that still better than the Bengals? Is all of that still better than the Chiefs?
What about the Steelers?
That was lost to the Ravens in the playoffs.
Right. If not for the fumble at the goal line, they would have beat the Bengals.
You right about that?
It's a long season.
Still a
long season.
There's a lot of quarterbacks there. I mean, we run them all down.
I mean, autumn quarterbacks in the AFC, I mean, like, they all can go to the AFC Championship game. Using that guy's name, four, five quarterbacks. So it's gonna be hard anyway. I just think that the Ravens, the Jets, the Bills, I'm not gonna put the Chiefs. I'm gonna say the Bengals.
Yeah.
Them teams are all in the same boat. It's the truth.
It's gonna be tight. Some tight.
I mean,
coming up, speaking of the Jets and Aaron Rodgers, he says his time could not be better right now. It is so much better than expected. Aaron Rodgers having glowing reports. We will tell you what we expect from the Jets this season. All hype. Are they overhyped? That's next on Speak.
Hey, Zach Wilson looks like that bad.
All right, let's get back to the news of the day. Dalvin Cook agreed to a 1-year deal with the Jets, giving New York's new quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, a already stacked offense, even more help. Now, before the Cook signing, Rodgers said, quote, "It feels like sometimes I woke up inside a dream. I pinch myself at various times every single week that I have been here."
It's so itchy. A dream. Being in New York.
That's what he said.
Shady, the Jets in for a rude awakening?
I wanted to say no until I heard that. But I'm going to stick with my answer. I'm going to say no. They're not. I think the NFL is tough, right? There's going to be some up and downs. I feel like everybody thinks that the Jets will, because Aaron Rodgers is there and all these new pieces, you add Dalvin Cook with that defense, and automatically, boom, they're going to be the straight winners. It doesn't work like that. You know, with the Bucs, we were 7-5 in 2020 when we won the championship, and people didn't expect us to go out there and do that. Now, in the beginning, Brady probably didn't say it was like, you know, had to pinch yourself to know if it's reality or not. But we had a really good team. Good defense, a lot of talent, a lot of experience, a lot of veterans, good coaching, Bruce Arians. So we knew it would be a good team, but there were up and downs. We started out hot, then we kind of went cold. Bye week came, guys got healthy, things started rolling. So I feel like the Jets will have that. I don't want people to feel like, oh, well, it's going to be a great year just because they have Aaron Rodgers. It don't work like this. NFL, a lot of great teams in AFC and a lot of good teams in general. So I feel like, yes, we'll be up and downs. I think that the Jets will have some success, but there will be some low times.
It's a dream.
It's a dream.
It was all a dream.
Look, he was sick in Green Bay last year.
He must have hated it.
I can't say a rude awakening. Like, what if they start off hot? Like, this is entirely possible. This can go a bunch of different ways. It could literally be a dream. They could win a Super Bowl in his first year there. Brady did it. Stafford did it. Or it could be a nightmare. It could be what happened in Denver last year. We don't know. We're gonna find out. We're gonna walk through the gates together. But they were also bad last year.
Mm-hmm.
So it ain't like they haven't had the experience of being bad quite recently. They're not going from like kind of good and then upgrading. They were bad, and now they've added Aaron Rodgers, and we'll see what happens. I'm in love, and I don't care who knows it.
Just all gumdrops and lollipops. Everything is great.
Awesome.
It's great until they lose that first one in New York, and you know how they're going to come after them. And let them lose back-to-back. You know. All that stuff that he's been talking, everyone loves him. But you know how quickly it turns in New York. So
Lucky,
nah.
Buffalo, Rude. Dallas, first two games of the season. You said let them lose back.
Oh, that's
back.
LL Cool J right there.
You can start out the gate.
That's two L's right there. LL Cool J right there.
Come out the gate. And then Kansas City week four.
Oh,
Buffalo.
We won in three.
Patriots, Kansas City.
Patriots
at a minimum defensively, you know.
We're talking about, one
also
and three.
It's also a divisional matchup.
And then the Broncos and then the Eagles. I mean, you're playing four of the best seven teams in football through the first 6 weeks.
About 2-4.
I mean, they could be 6-0.
But this is my thing.
No way.
But I will bet. What's I'm trying to tell you, though? Same thing with the Bucks that year with the Bucks. Like, 7-5, had the bye week. We ran 8 in a row. Then
what Shady's saying, because if you look at the schedule, you could start out very bad, but then once you hit the Falcons, Texans, maybe Dolphins, Commanders, Browns, Patriots, you could go down the stretch 5-1.
And, okay, so after the bye week, right? I would pick them to beat the Giants. The Chargers, I think the Chargers are a good team, but we always think the Chargers are a good team, and they always don't deliver, correct?
Correct.
Okay, then you got the Raiders. They should beat the Raiders. The Bills, divisional game could go anyway.
Go anyway.
Dolphins.
Be tough.
Either way, they can split both of them games.
Beat the Falcons.
They should beat the Falcons, the Texans. Yeah.
Dolphins again.
Come on, Washington.
They can roll down the end, but I do think, Shady, they're in for a very rude awakening start.
That's every team in the NFL.
Unless you deliver in the rude awakenings. Like, I don't agree it's every team in the NFL. Like, I don't think that, like, the Chiefs are in for a rude awakening. I don't think the Eagles are in for a rude awakening. I don't think the Cowboys are in for a rude awakening.
You say that because we've seen the Chiefs, how far they went.
Yep.
The way they went. You see the Eagles. You know what we do. We win games the way we do it. But the other teams, like the Cowboys,
I thought I was in Paris. Yeah,
They love me, I love them. You know what I'm saying? Playing 525 jerseys nowhere in Philadelphia. Only in the fans. Only in the stands you see.
He's not wrong.
But anyway, that's beside the point. He know what it is. So I'm just saying, we look at all these different teams, it's like, everybody can do that. Everybody can go through that stage where you're losing and you're winning. I think it's just because it's Aaron Rodgers that we make it a big thing. If they go out there and lose the first three games, we're going to kill them.
Yep.
That's football. You've been through that.
I'm saying if you go out there and lose the first three, going to be a dramatic.
Oh, it's going to be a problem.
Hold on. See, that's this TV thing again. We doing this TV thing again.
What are we doing?
Because in the locker room, what you going to say? Only needed to win one.
Of course.
Okay, you need one.
He's right.
Once you get to 3-3, it's like, all right, we back in the
game.
That's
fair, but he's right. Because on TV, you start 0-2, I'm going to be like, hey, Andy, what's the percentage that teams make the playoffs if you start 0-2? And he's going to tell me, roughly 8.6%. Hey, you start 0-3. It's like,
yeah, and all that's really cute most seasons.
That's a good point.
But this year, where the AFC is going to be like this.
Yeah. That's for every team, though.
It is for every team.
Right?
Every team ain't got Aaron Rodgers that we talked about every single day for the past 2 years.
Literally.
I love him.
I know.
Stick around, family. It's a family business. You don't want to miss it. Shady might keep speaking some French. She might go to Italian. How we meet? Bucky Brooks, if I'm not mistaken, Grenada Hills. Y'all got your opener on Friday?
Yeah. We play Friday. I wish we had one of those Pennsylvania teams on the schedule. But
You do. change.
We'll see what we can do.
Wait, real quick.
It'll be a tough start.
You think Texas has better football than Pennsylvania?
Oh, without doubt.
Who has more Hall of Famers, Texas or Pennsylvania?
I don't know. Who has it? You tell me.
Pennsylvania.
That doesn't dictate.
I mean, what is it like from the 50s and 60s?
We were talking about.
Are they from the 50s and 60s?
We were talking about some recent grounds and players, and y'all were trying to say Pennsylvania is not a place where good football players come from.
It's not a comparable recruiting ground.
Hall of Famers?
Right now, in the top 10 players right now, how many of them dudes are from Texas or Pennsylvania? I'll wait.
I'll wait, too, because I know Patrick Mahomes is from Texas.
He's really great, yes.
I know he's from Texas.
One. We got Aaron Donald, and we got Michael Parsons. I'm done with this. It's not even a. This is a layup. This is like a layup.
That's a layup.
Look at your faces.
Two Super Bowls.
Look at their faces.
Two Super Bowls from Pat.
Best players: Aaron Donald, Michael Parsons. You got Patrick Mahomes. That's it.
You got.
That's it.
I don't even got the list in front of me right now. I don't even got the list in front of me right now.
Two is more than one, Shady.
Right.